This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Darnold, play action again, flips it in the end zone. Jamison Crowder's got it. That's a Jet touchdown.
To me, Sam Darnold is getting knocked and people discard him like he's no big deal. He is. He's 23 years of age. He's played through adversity. He's dealt with everything you could deal with.
When I hear Mel Kiper make that statement about what the Jets should do, it sounds like somebody that's not at risk of losing their job if Sam Darnold turns out not to be a quarterback.
This is the defining moment for Joe Douglas.
You can have as much talent as you want. If your quarterback isn't good, what good is that?
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. I want to get into the NBA. James Harden, your guy, MVP, right? That's what you're hoping for, obviously. Then the naked video will be released. He has another tremendous game last night. So no Kyrie, no KD, and James Harden, sensational. I was just sent the latest Deshaun Watson update. Rick, two more lawsuits have been filed. I can't even keep up with the numbers at this point. That was 15 and 16 yesterday afternoon is where we are. So we are at 16 women that have come forward with allegations against Deshaun Watson. And Tony Busby says there's still more that will come out.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a tough spot. This is something you're going to have to let play itself out. Right?
Of course you're going to have to let it play itself out, but it looks so bad for him right now. Again, with one, you think to yourself, and maybe this is not fair, maybe it is, I don't know, maybe we're judging and we shouldn't. I don't know how the right way to react is, I don't. But I know that my opinion is 16 is a lot of women that have come out against Deshaun Watson, and it's very concerning, to say the least, at this point. That's how I'll leave it right now.
No, it's concerning. But, I mean, you do also have, you know, stories on the other side. I mean, according to, you know, Rusty Harden, I'm sitting here looking at a story right now. I mean, one of the massage therapists, you know, apparently in January tried to blackmail Deshaun Watson.
Right. And wanted to be paid, $30,000 for what she referred to as indefinite silence about her encounter with Deshaun.
Yeah. So, I'm going to it's both sides, it's going to take time because, again, I mean, that's if you know that's the case with one of the 16. So, I mean, what's the situation with the 15 others?
Yeah, I think we need to learn. I think we need to know. I think we want to gather all the information before we come out with any kind of a wild accusation. But it's a lot of women lined up against him right now. It would be inappropriate for the district attorney's office to comment on a civil lawsuit. We refrain from publicly discussing allegations in any matter until and if a criminal charge is filed. We do this out of fairness. Dane Schiller, spokesman for the Harris County District Attorney, said Monday. And as we know, last week, NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy said, quote, the matter is under review pertaining to the league's personal conduct policy. And the Texans said in a statement that they would stay in close contact with the NFL during its investigation. So I don't want to sit here and go round and round and round of he said, she said, and our concerns and our upset and all those things and how unfair it would be to him if it's not true and how awful it is if it is true. I just wanted to merely bring up the information because it certainly is newsworthy and it certainly is topical for us here.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sitting here again. I mean, you referencing the article, you know, with Deshaun Watson's, I mean, his side is now starting to, you know, to release some information. Because, I mean, that's what we're all waiting to hear what, you know, Deshaun Watson's side of this was going to be. Because it's a tough spot. You're right. I mean, now we're talking about 16 different situations where it's, I mean, I don't know what the evidence is. I can't imagine being in that situation where it's a one-on-one Deshaun Watson and the massage therapist. I mean, how, if you're Deshaun Watson, with, you know, this pattern of behavior being established by the other side, like how you can definitively prove your innocence in these situations.
Now, did you, and again, this is out of my wheelhouse. I was not a professional athlete. I don't understand how these things work. Isn't that a large, I mean, 16 different massage therapists? Is that an inordinate amount? Or is that just, yeah, that guys have a lot of massage therapists?
No, it seems like a lot of massage therapists. It did. If I'm being completely honest about my feeling on when I read stuff like this and how, I mean, he's identifying massage therapists on Instagram and he's flying them in and it's, you know, a one-on-one massage at, you know, at a hotel where he's just wearing a towel. Like, that's not when you get it. Like, when you're going for a legitimate massage, like, I have a massage therapist that I use that is
currently now.
Currently now.
Okay.
That's the greatest. But, I mean, I trust her. She trusts me. And even in that situation, it's not where, you know, I gear down and I got a little towel, little tiny towel on myself.
You've known her for a long time.
For a long time. Like, I've actually created a pair of shorts because I don't want it to get awkward. I mean, it's just, it's where I need rub. It's uncomfortable for everybody, right? Like, I'm in pain the entire time, and it's just weird areas. So, I actually have a certain kind of, like, short setup that I put together that, like, is, so I'm not just hanging all over the place because I don't want to, it's an uncomfortable spot to be in. But I don't know, it doesn't feel like he was looking for just the massage.
It doesn't.
In these situations.
It doesn't. And I think most people would probably take that side of it right now. Let's go to Brad in Levittown. Brad, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hello?
Hello, Brad. Good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. First time calling. I just wanted to ask if what you guys thought about Deshaun Watson wanting to, you know, leave Houston because of, you know, all these women coming forward. Maybe he knew it was going to happen. That caused him to want to be traded out of there and sever ties with the team.
I don't think so, but let's think this through. Why, knowing that all this would be coming out, would you demand a trade from Houston? Like, what is the end game? Like, if you wound up with Green Bay or another team that wouldn't follow you to the next stop? I mean, that would never go away.
No, that's not going to go away. And on top of it, I mean, I don't want to sit here and pretend like I know what's true and what's not, but, I mean, if there's any truth to the fact that he was, you know, he was approached in February by Tony Busby about, you know, a potential lawsuit
and a settlement,
and he said no, and then turns around on March 5th and has another situation. Then, I mean, how could
you can't? I know it's difficult to discuss, and I know we're kind of at loss for words right now. But I mean, you can't. Is the truth. It's very, very troubling situation. And you hear some of the things that the women say of how upset and bothered and that they say he's a serial, you know, profiler and all the things that they talk negatively against him. It's very difficult to deal with. But I thought it was important that we just bring everyone
up to
date. Well,
no, but you're right. But it's just, this is what happened. This is, when you get put in a spot, like he put himself in a situation where something like this could potentially happen. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, as a young guy, you know, you're naive to certain situations. But when you get to the level of a Deshaun Watson, when you reach that kind of celebrity, you're not like everyone else. Like, you can't, like, there is a chance that, you know, people are going to try to extort you or blackmail you. Right? Like that. I mean, that happens all the time.
Of course.
Like, you got to avoid situations like that. Like, the blackmail situation with the 30 grand, it's like, I'll keep my mouth shut because Deshaun wouldn't want this story to come out because it'd be embarrassing. Well, if you're Deshaun Watson, whatever you like to do behind closed doors, I mean, that's sexually, that's your business. But because you're Deshaun Watson, if it's someone that you don't really know, and this is like, you know, someone that you don't necessarily trust, and you start taking, you know, part in some interesting stuff behind closed doors that could be embarrassing, like, there, you run the risk of that coming back.
Well, I think there's two sides to this too, right? Like, embarrassing is one thing. If you're doing things that people would you know, shake their heads at and be bothered by just because it's weird to do behind closed doors, that's one thing. That's his own personal preference. That's okay. Strange, whatever the case may be, that's okay. If you're taking it to the point where you're doing illegal acts and soliciting for things that are not called for and you are, you know, making women uncomfortable, that's a completely different issue now. And we have a major problem on our hands. And we might. We don't know. We might. And that's the situation that we sit here right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
A throttling win last night. I mean, what did they put up? 39 in the first quarter. Rick, the game was over at the half. When was the last time you watched the Knicks game and you felt comfortable at halftime? Doesn't happen.
Wow. I can't even tell you.
It doesn't happen.
When there was the last time for that. No, it doesn't. But, I mean, yeah, you were comfortable. You're watching Tibbs on the sideline. He wasn't comfortable.
Well, here's the one thing. I said there's one thing that bothered me. And I think you're going to disagree, and that's fine. I get it. You didn't like what the guys were doing. I don't need to see R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, who's just coming back off injury, and Julius Randle in the game with 90 seconds left in an 18-point game. I do not need to see that.
Yeah, but now you're being nitpicky. I get what you're saying. But, I mean, this is it's of the utmost importance that they close out games like that.
Well, is it really? Like, if they would have won that game by 14, you would say, oh, I can't believe they'd let that slip down.
This is what you're not understanding. That's a coach's mindset. I mean, you always think the worst. Like, the last thing, God forbid, you would want to have happen is because of what you just said, you know what, you know, RJ plays a lot of minutes. You know, Julius Randle's playing a ton of minutes. This game is...
It's over.
Is a wrap. It's over. And then all of a sudden, the things start spiraling out of control and you can't stop it. And then it's too late. That's always in the back of your mind as a coach.
There was zero chance. Come on. There was 2 minutes to go. They're up by 16. And he's got the starters in the game. You could put me, you, Chris, and two other guys out there and we're not going to blow that game. That game wasn't going to get away.
No, in reality, is the game going to go away at that point? No. But I'm just telling you, that's a coach's mindset.
All right, well, listen,
It's not over.
I love Tibbs. God forbid one of those guys gets hurt at that moment. The entire show today is how in the world is one of those guys in the game with 2 minutes to go in a game that's non-competitive.
I don't disagree that would be the conversation. I'm just trying to give you some insight into what the mindset of a coach is in those situations.
All right, maybe so. Knicks win it 131-113. I know you know, but I say it kind of rhetorically. What Russell Westbrook did last night from the field? I mean, he was disgusting.
Did not do
last
well.
Night.
No, but they made it hard on him and Bradley Beal last night. Knicks play great defense, man. Say what you want.
Always play really good defense. That's the thing.
Well, that's how they're in these games. Is because they play great defense.
Love it.
Russell Westbrook missed a lot of easy shots. A lot of layups last night.
I was nervous early, though. I was. Because you look at this team, you're like, God, they're so talented. And you get this, who's the guy hitting threes? I never heard of him before. What was it? He hit a three early in the corner. I'll look it up. I don't remember his name. I was like, who is this guy now?
Matthews?
Yeah, Matthews.
Yeah, but they got that. We said at the beginning of the show, last night was the perfect example. When you look on paper talent-wise, the Washington Wizards should be a whole hell of a lot better than they are. I mean, they're terrible.
Terrible.
Like, talent-wise, they're a better team talent-wise than the New York Knicks.
Yes.
But you see the difference.
I don't even think it's all that close, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, they get some really talented players, but they don't play. I mean, their effort level on the defensive side of the ball compared to what the Knicks are doing right now
is pathetic. Watching them on defense it's actually pathetic to watch. I mean, Tom Thibodeau would lose his mind if his team ever played defense like that. Lose it. All right, let's go to the calls.
You wouldn't play.
800-919-3776. Steve, on the Parkway. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I haven't spoken to you in a couple of weeks. Whose fault is that?
Apologize
to me.
You got to make calls, Steve.
To me, I've been working. I've been working hard to take care of my three kids. Life is hard out here. But life is good because I'm alive, they're alive. But the reason why I call is because I'm liking what I'm saying from the Knicks. Last night, I loved, you know, what they did on the court. Only thing that bothered me was, and I get why Julius was doing it, was him bickering at the refs by 28. And like I said, I get it because the last few games, the refs has just been screwing us over on certain calls, crucial calls. But in a game like that, there's no need to bicker with them because when it's time when we do need them to play fair, they're going to try to, like, get on him. And that's just my philosophy on it. And then as far as, like, trades go, I'm hoping we go get Lonzo Ball as the only player that I see that fits and that's reasonable to go get right now. Kyle Lowry, I wouldn't even touch him because, one, he wants a ridiculous contract with his next team. That's not happening. He's too old. And then that's pretty much it. Victor Oladipo, Houston's got a taste of what the Nets gave them, and they're not even bugging out wanting their price for Victor Oladipo. He's just a rental. And
here's the thing. He could be a rental. I mean, he could also, and thanks for the call, Steve, you could also, you know, sign him in the offseason and keep him here as part of the fabric of this team. I think I agree with you on Lowry. I don't think that's a fit. I don't want to bring a 35.
No, it's a fit. It's a fit, but I mean, you're only renting Kyle Lowry. I mean,
but
if you're
Lowry,
right,
wouldn't you want to go to a team that has a chance to win a championship right now?
I mean, he's going to be involved with, I mean, the decision as to where he ends up. And at, you know, almost 35 years old, he's going to want to go to a team that has a chance to legitimately win a championship.
They stink, by the way.
I don't know what happened to them.
They've fallen off the face of the earth, huh?
Yeah, I got a text message yesterday. So I'm doing some radio in Toronto today. And I got a text message yesterday from one of the producers because they wanted me to go on this morning right after the show. And he said, don't worry about today. He said, the Blue Jays got all sorts of injuries. And he goes, and we also have a Raptors player apparently fighting the coach.
he was fined a lot of money, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that team is falling apart. But, I mean, Kyle Lowry is – I mean, could you imagine if Kyle Lowry ends up getting traded to the Sixers?
No, I think that becomes interesting, though.
Real interesting.
I still would take Brooklyn, but I think it becomes much more interesting. Your guy last night, by the way, you must be very pleased. James Harden with another terrific game. But let me give you these stats prior to the Harden stats. 28, 15, and 10. You know who did that last night?
Yeah, Jokic.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Ho-ho. Shot, what, 60% from the field, too?
Yeah. That's just what he does. But, I mean, Harden really is. And the point when we were talking, I don't think he's going to win MVP, and I obviously stake a lot to that, but he really is great. I mean, 17 assists, plays 39 minutes, 25 points, and a game that they need him to put that up, right? They don't have Irving, they don't have Durant, and he still wills them to a victory. He's sensational.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't shoot well either, and he still managed to come out of that game.
24?
Yeah, didn't hit a three. He was 0 for 7 from three. But, I mean, still, you know, look at the stat line, the 17 assists. Forget the points. I mean, what he does for his teammates.
A lot of assists.
Well, dude, I mean, the way he facilitates, I mean, the relationship he's you know, starting to develop with Claxton, who we both love. I mean, the versatility of Claxton is, I know everyone was mad when Jared Allen got traded. But, I mean, this kid has stepped up in a big way for them. Big way for them.
And yeah, he's a good player.
Jeff Green down the stretch, too, makes a couple big free throws. But, I mean, the amazing thing is, you know, they've won 16 of the last 18, and we're talking about a team that has Kyrie in and out of, I mean, he's gone for the road trip.
Yep.
They just keep, like, they dominate the West, and this is without Kevin Durant this entire time.
I know. It really is remarkable. I mean, to think of how daunting it will be when the three of those guys are playing there together, it's unbelievable. Now, Kyrie, at the drop of a hat, he goes away. Kevin Durant, I think it's fair to say, is injury prone at this stage of his career. But Harden is not. Harden plays every single game, and here he is after the game saying he's willing to play through some of these nagging injuries.
I love to hoop. Like, I love to be out there and taking on a challenge of finding ways to win games. In basketball, everything isn't going to be perfect, you know, whether it's playing through injuries or playing banged up, or I just think in life, like, everything is always going to be perfect. So you find ways to fight through a little adversity. You know, when you're hurt, you're hurt, you sit out, but... You know, I try to find a way to just go out there and make an impact and play if I'm able to, if it's not risking anything, if that makes sense. So, and that's how I've been out the course of my career. Like, throughout the regular season, I think everybody knows I love to play. Like, I don't really, you know, rest. I love to hoop. I love to be out there and being there for my teammates. I feel like if I'm on the court, you know, my teammates have a better chance than winning. So that's just my mindset. You know, tomorrow when I wake up, if I feel like I can go, I'm going to go. And it's that simple.
I wonder if you got him into a room and no one else heard it, if you said, does it bother you the stuff that Kyrie Irving does? I mean, hearing what he says right there, if it bothers him that Kyrie Irving just finds reasons to not play in NBA games right now.
Well, I think it's a different mentality. I mean, James Harden, for all the negative things you want to say about James Harden, the one thing that I think you should respect is he loves to play the game of basketball.
He sure does.
And he shows up when he can. I mean, when he's healthy enough to play, he shows up every single night. Like you mentioned, I mean, he played, you know, 39, 40 minutes last night. They got a bat, and then he was a game time decision.
I know, because he's not right.
So, and I would imagine he's going to play tonight too.
I'm sure. How can you doubt him? You can't doubt him.
No, you can't. But this is why it's so. This is why it was important for Sean Marks to make the move for James Harden.
He's a tremendous player. I tell you, he's better than I even realized he was. Can I make a a bold-ish statement right now, by the way.
I want as bold as you can bring it.
I mean, this is bold. This might be bold and underline. I think the Lakers are going to be playing in the play-in game in the Western Conference.
So they drop below the top six.
I mean, how are they going to possibly win a game until one of these two guys comes back? You see, they're starting a guy I didn't know existed last night at center. Do you see who they're putting out there?
Yeah, it's not great. It is not great.
So they're four seed right now. They are 28-16. They're a game ahead of Denver. They're two games in the loss column ahead of Portland and San Antonio, and three ahead of Dallas. They'll make the playoffs, but would you be surprised if they were the 7 or the 8?
Would I be surprised? Well, no, without LeBron James for an extended period of time, no. But I would also say that regardless of where they finish, if AD and LeBron James come back healthy with time off, like fully rested.
I agree with that.
Headed into the postseason, I would still lean Lakers.
7 seed. They could be the 7 seed, and I would still pick them to go to the NBA Finals if those guys are healthy. All I'm saying is, I don't think that's a crazy thought, that they will precipitously drop in the Western Conference right now.
No, but I mean, you've seen that. How many times have we seen that, though, with LeBron James teams? They go from being the best team in the league when he's on the court and healthy, and then all of a sudden he misses time, and they stink.
Yeah, I know. He would have won him. If he didn't get hurt, he would have absolutely, unequivocally won the MVP.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I mean, Rick, I know you don't look at him as your favorite. He might be mine, but I adore Dan Graziano. You ready for a little conversation with Dan?
Yeah, I don't know why you have to say he's not my favorite. I mean,
Gone on the record of saying
no,
you like
false.
It, but he's not,
false.
Not number one. But that's fine. Let's bring him in and find out how he feels about us. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I think I was behind. Was I behind Buster only in the rankings?
See, he knows the
last
rankings.
Last time when I talked to Rick?
Yeah,
I think
see.
So. I think, you don't forget a thing like that, is all I'm saying.
It is very painful. I apologize for rehashing old memories.
Yeah.
Dan, I got to ask you, this Deshaun Watson story becomes...
Yeah.
More upsetting and more concerning, and the numbers continue to grow. And I mean, what does the NFL do? I guess they do a full investigation. Are we on hold now as far as a trade goes with the Texans and Deshaun Watson and moving on from him at this point?
Yeah, I think obviously you have to be. I mean, you look at the teams that would be interested in acquiring him, like how can you move forward right now, knowing as little as we know? And I think that's the way to look at it at this point. Now, you know, obviously what's going on is far more serious than football and who trades for a quarterback and all that. We obviously can't, we don't want to get in a position where we're ignoring that aspect of this. But in terms of the sports end of it, and if you were a team that was going to be pursuing Deshaun Watson, yes, everything is kind of on pause at this point because you really just don't know how any of this is going to turn out. And, you know, whether he's going to be suspended, whether he's going to, you know, play again. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So the league will do an investigation, yes. And, you know, it's hard to imagine that getting resolved between now and the draft, which is was a key date when we always looked at possibility of Deshaun Watson trades, when it might go down, et cetera. So, yeah, it's a very ugly and unfortunate situation on a number of important non-sports-related levels. But, yeah, at this point, it's definitely one of the side effects is that, yes, it's having an effect on how you look at potential of trading for him.
Dan, in saying all that, so I mean, I would also believe it's hard to have something like this resolved by the draft. So, I mean, let's just assume for the sake of my question that Deshaun Watson is still dealing with this and doesn't get traded. I mean, how does that – I would imagine that the teams that were in on Deshaun Watson, like a team like maybe, you know, the Carolina Panthers who seem interested, I mean, how much more incentivized are they now to all of a sudden make sure they get up in this year's draft to get the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look specifically at the Carolina Panthers, who have made finding a franchise quarterback kind of a cornerstone of their offseason plan, yes, you start to think about, okay, well, we're picking 8. Do we need to go up and get the quarterback we want? Can we expect that quarterback to be there at 8? Do we try and call the Seattle Seahawks and say, all right, look, you know, we know you don't want to trade Russell Wilson, but let's start talking about what it would look like if you did, right? Like that kind of stuff. You turn your attention that way. And I think that's what you'll see when we look at Carolina and what they do going forward here. But, I think the top of the draft is going to be fascinating in terms of who wants to jockey for that position and end up getting that quarterback. Right now, we know the teams that are up there, and you know, we know the Jets are one of them. They're in a prime position. They can stay and take a quarterback, or they can, you know, trade the pick to a very interested batch of suitors at this point. So, yeah, I think that part of the draft is going to be fascinating to see what the teams that are quarterback-driven end up doing as a result of the top potential target potentially being off the board.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you mentioned the Jets, and listen, you're an insider, you're a knowledgeable guy, and you also have your opinion. So all that wrapped up into one, what do you think happens with the Jets 5 weeks from tomorrow at the draft?
I still think the most likely way they end up going is that they get a deal for Darnold somewhere and they draft the quarterback at two. Probably it sounds like Zach Wilson is sort of the apple of people's eye at that point in the draft. So specifically to the Jets, is he? You know, we will find out. But I think that at this point, while there's still a couple of different potential ways that could go, I think right now it sounds like they have a chance to get something for Darnold and possibly go ahead and draft the guy they would hope would be the quarterback of their future with that number two pick. But, you know, we're 5 weeks away, so it's still a number of different ways it could turn, obviously.
Dan, how surprised were you with how much money Kenny Golladay made?
A lot. I'm very surprised. I mean, it's just sort of out of step with the market, right? Like, what was the next biggest wide receiver number was Corey Davis with the Jets, like 13, was it roughly 13? So, yeah, I think what we're seeing with the Giants and Gettleman is, you know, they've decided they're going to be aggressive to get the guys they want. They had to sign Leonard Williams because of, you know, trading for him and franchising him last year and all that stuff. So that was sort of they were kind of over a barrel there with regard to what he was able to ask and get from them. That was one part of it. And then Golladay, they were determined to get a number one wide receiver. When you look at the receivers in this year's free agent market, he was kind of the guy that profiled as one the most closely, right? Like, is he that? Is he going to be that? Has he consistently been that? You can have that argument. But the Giants felt like he can be, especially for Daniel Jones. It's a guy that's very good at, you know, winning the contested ball, and I think as they move ahead with Daniel Jones and try and figure out exactly what they have there, they need somebody who can make him as good as possible, and I think they saw Kenny Golladay as that kind of player, so they went ahead and they stretched.
I think you can argue, Dan, that they overpaid for Golladay and Jackson.
Well, you say overpaid, I say stretched. Maybe I've had my coffee. I'm feeling pretty good. You were up very early. You know, it may just be a situation where it's a matter of perspective and how you want to phrase things. But yeah, I it's possible you could make that case that they overpaid. Sure.
My point was this, and my point is, I still like it. Like, granted, that maybe they paid more than those guys would have gotten elsewhere. They were needs for the Giants. And yes, they paid them a lot, but they're a better football team today because of it. Like, where do you think the Giants are as far as this rebuilding process? And I know that they've paid a lot for those guys, but do you like the Golladay and Jackson moves for them?
Yes, I think that they got good players that they like and that will help them be better. Yes, and you know what? It's not my money, so I mean, who am I to say whether they overpaid and how that ends up hurting them in the long term? I think big picture, when you look at Dave Gettleman as a general manager, I don't think finding the best bang for your buck is a big thing for him, right? Like, he drafts the running back at number two. He drafts the quarterback at six that maybe he could have waited on. Like, if he likes the player, he's going to get the player.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Did we lose Dan?
No, he's coming back. I feel like he's coming back.
You do? I don't know. I feel like we lost him.
I thought I heard him there for a second.
I think Gettleman cut the line, to be honest.
Yeah, he had one of his computer folk disconnected.
Yeah, the one computer guy, Dave called him. He's like, listen, I don't need you right now. Cut the line. He's talking bad about me. I don't like it.
but it's the best computer guy. They only got one, but he's the best.
He is so good. He's the best. He's the Bill Gates. The Bill Gates. Dan, are you back with us here? Gettleman cut your line for a minute, I think.
I think that's what happened. I was starting to say somehow Gettleman got in and cut it before I said something. Look, it's not back when I was covering baseball. I remember asking Dave Dombrowski, the GM of the Marlins, when I covered them, like about overpaying for a player. He's like, yeah, yes, it's more than we wanted to play, but now we have him, right? So now big picture. Dave Gettleman needs to win. This needs to be a team that starts to show improvement soon. Joe Judge just got there. Does he maybe see it as a more of a long-term build? Is there potentially, you know, sort of a discussion in the building about what the best way to go is? You know, this is what they've decided to do. You look at the Patriots, they sign a bunch of guys for kind of, you know, second-tier prices, right? Whereas the Giants signed the high-end guys for the high-end prices, and then now it becomes incumbent upon them to draft well and to get productivity out of their recent drafts. And the problem the Giants have, big picture, is that they haven't done that, right? I mean, there have been a number of drafts for the Giants in recent years that just haven't borne fruit. And if that starts to change, then these free agency additions kind of augment what they have. And if it doesn't, then they end up doing this every couple of years, and they're stuck in this cycle.
Dan, I apologize for Dave being so rude. I would understand why you would hang up. But, I mean, you know how much Dave loves his New York Giants, and we've talked about this the last couple of days. He's also a part-time degenerate, so whatever Vegas says,
that's not Dave, true.
Dave gets really, you know, involved in. So Vegas has the Giants as the fourth best team behind the Eagles in the NFC East. With all the moves that they've made, where they're at, where would you, the expert, Dan Graziano, put the Giants in the landscape of the NFC East?
Well, I'll say this. If they have the longest price on them, they're probably worth a shot, right? Because it's the NFC East. Like, it's a throw four teams in a hat and pick one every single year. We have no idea what's going to happen, right? So I would say you could look at the Giants with sort of a why not us mentality. I mean, they almost won it last year, right, with a 6-10 record. So the only thing we know for sure is Washington won't win it because they never have a back-to-back champion. So sorry about that, Washington. You look like you have a nice team, but you have to wait till 22. But yeah, I think if Daniel Jones can play and can stay healthy and can show the improvement that he showed in the second half of last season in terms of the turnovers, and if you get Saquon Barkley back healthy, I think they could be as good as anybody in that division. Damning with faint praise, but yeah, I think they would be in the mix.
My guy. This is my guy, Dan Graziano, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. I've heard people say that they're so excited about Ryan Fitzpatrick to Washington, and you know, how he's such an upgraded quarterback. I guess he's an upgrade. I don't see it. Like, they took this giant step. I mean, he's never gone to the postseason. He gives you two games where you say you're wowed by him, and then he's horrendous. I mean, do you look at them as really having solved this quarterback problem? Is this a tremendous upgrade for them?
I think no, but I think, you know, Alex Smith, there's some apprehension about him, you know, keeping him healthy given everything he's gone through. So they felt like they went with a veteran who could do what they needed him to do. And he doesn't come with that level of concern. Or price, by the way. Alex Smith's number was going to be huge this year. So you're right about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, his career has shown itself to be inconsistent. And we've seen the highs and we've seen the lows. And the lows are very frightening. And they cost you games, right, because they're turnovers. So their defense is awesome. I mean, especially the front seven. And then they add William Jackson, who might have been the best cornerback on the free agent market. So their defense is exceptional and should keep them in games. In terms of the offense, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's going to come down to Fitzpatrick, and you know, they make additions strategically on offense. They should have a good team. Like I said, the only reason I'm writing them off is because we haven't had a back-to-back champion in that division in 17 years, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think these teams are always very close in terms of quality, or usually very close in terms of quality, and I think Washington's going to be a difficult team to play because of that defense, but yeah, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick as the savior at quarterback, I don't know. I gotta see that to believe it over a full, by the way, 17-game season, not just 16.
Plus, you like picking at Greeny, who thinks that Washington is definitely going to win the division. Dan.
Well, he's all in on that.
All in.
I mean, like, he's gone really hard to that. Like, he kind of So I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
which is exactly why.
If they win it, we're going to hear about it. I know that for sure.
Well, and you know, I mean, the teams that Greeny picks usually don't win anyway. So that way, I mean, that's more reason why you don't pick the Washington football team.
That's right.
I'm picking the Jets. Yeah.
Man, how much should we be reading into the fact that, you know, Aaron Rodgers' deal hasn't been restructured yet and they actually just had to pay him his 2021 roster bonus?
As much as you want. Right, you could put anything you want in that in terms of speculation, because you know the money and the cap decisions drive this whole league, and they could have saved more against the cap by restructuring Aaron Rodgers before they paid him that roster bonus than they can after. Now they can still restructure the salary and get some cap relief, but it would have been more if they hadn't paid the bonus yet. So the fact that it's not done. As long as it's not done, right? I think I could do it today. But as long as it's not done, what we say about that situation accurately is that nothing has changed in terms of their ability to move on after this year. And if nothing changes with Aaron Rodgers' contract, they don't extend him, they don't guarantee more money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then we go into this year knowing about it exactly what we did a year ago, which is that if they want to, after this season, they could move on from Aaron Rodgers and play Jordan Love. Now, he just won MVP, and Jordan Love had a rookie season where he really didn't get to do much, right? There was no preseason for him to play in and show what he could do. And from what I'm told, Aaron Rodgers took literally every first-team snap in practice all year. So Jordan Love was splitting second-team reps and third-team reps with Tim Boyle, who was the backup. So Love may not be ready after this year, as they might have expected him to be when they drafted him, to no fault of his own. But They have that ability to go year to year at this point with Rodgers. I think personally that's what they want to do. But if we do see a restructure of the contract that makes it more difficult to move after this season, then you'll know that maybe that plan has changed.
All right, Dan. Beautiful stuff as always, and this is why you're in fact Rick's number two guest, because you always bring it at a very, very high level.
I can keep hoping that I'll move up someday. But you know what? These things drive you and they make you better. You know, the motivation and staying hungry and all that. So I thank Rick for that. And I'll try and surpass Buster at some point.
And we thank you for all your hard work and efforts, and we will talk to you next week.
All right.
Good stuff, Dan Graziano.
Look at you kissing up to him after you were rude to him.
Wow, how was I rude?
Well, you were rude. I mean, you were. I'm not the only one saying it. I mean, it was RJ came into my ear, said it. Santiago agreed with him.
Hang on a minute now. What did I say that was rude?
You just went after him. I mean, you just attacked him.
Well, how did I go? I didn't go after anybody.
I'm just telling you what people
on the show
were saying.
I was very gracious and kind. RJ, I want to hear this from you. You said I was rude to Dan Graziano.
Listen, I just thought that you jumped him a little, and I don't think it's a coincidence that right after that he had some phone trouble.
What did I jump him with?
I'll get it. The tone was questionable.
I want the audio of this. I think I was a pleasure, a delight, and I thought I was very welcoming to Dan. I'm a big fan of Graziano.
Now, you got nasty with the whole Kenny Golladay thing. You got a little bit nasty.
No, I don't think so. I said I thought they overpaid for him. I did. I was actually on the air on Saturday, and
we know. Somebody,
I was gonna say how wrong I was. My God. I can't say
we all
anything.
Know you're on the air on Saturday. You got your hockey show. You got the Dave Roth and
4 hours of me in the morning. No, but someone called and said, do you think they're going to get the deal done with Golladay? And if they do, how much do you think it would be? And I was like, I don't know, maybe like 3 years and $42 million. Like, I couldn't comprehend 4 years and $76 million. I really couldn't. I think that's way beyond what anybody expected.
Well, it is. I mean, especially where the market was at. But again, I mean, this is obviously the player that Dave Gettleman identified as his guy that he wanted. And everything checked out with his health and in the meeting they had with Joe Judge and the coaching staff. So this is a make or break year for Dave Gettleman.
This is it. This will define him. I mean, if Daniel Jones is not good, then Dave Gettleman's run with the Giants will have been a failure, right? We agree
with
that?
Well, it's over. Yeah, right. It's over.
It's over and it will be considered a failure. If you have to bring in a new GM and now look for a quarterback, this was a failed experiment with Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, I mean, he loses. I mean, again, I mean, I joke with you and stand up for Dave Gettleman. I mean, this, you know, last offseason free agency was good. This year, you know, free agency seems good, but he's made some questionable picks. I mean, well, Dan laughs about the, you know, Saquon Barkley pick at two.
Because
I mean, Saquon Barkley's a really good player, but I mean, at that point, the writing was on the wall. You needed a quarterback. Like, Eli Manning was done. But I mean, how much of that was the owner? We don't know. But you're right. This is for Dave Gettleman. This
will define him. All right, lot of people lined up. Let's get to the calls before we hand it over to KJZ, which is our guys, right? Bart, Alan and Chris on KJZ this morning. All right, let's go to Ira. Bring him in. I think we have to. We're contractually obligated. Good morning, Ira. Hey. How are you?
Hey. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I'm sure you heard the Corey Davis remarks yesterday, and you know you take it with a grain of salt. But I think the way that played out is they told him, "Listen, Sam's a quarterback right now, and if we could upgrade the position like any other position, we'll do that going forward." And I just think he didn't explain himself properly. And Dave, hopefully we'll talk Saturday morning about Zach Wilson's pro day on Friday. You take that with a grain of salt, but I think that'll be a big buzz. And listen, you know, I just heard what Dan said. And as much as you know where I want to go with the quarterback position, the last week I am convinced, whether it's Atlanta, Detroit, or Carolina, I think Douglas is going to trade down. I think they're going to roll the dice with Sam. Oof. And I think they're going to take the best lineman, best corner, whatever it might be, and acquire picks. I think that's the move that the Jets are going to make. I hope I'm wrong, but I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I don't think so. I actually believe, and thanks for the call, Ira, I think they're going to take the quarterback, Rick.
That's where I would lean at the moment. It just makes the most sense. It makes sense. Joe Douglas, I mean, we keep talking about how important this decision is for him. And he signed a long-term deal. But again, I mean, we're talking about the most important position in sports. He didn't draft Sam Darnold.
His guy. No. So you're going to go to battle with somebody else's guy and your reputation on the line? That's a risky proposition. Very, very risky. Let's go to Rob in Brooklyn. Good morning, Rob. You're next up on 98.7.
Yeah. Listen, I want to talk Obi Toppin real quick.
All right.
Listen, y'all just hit the nail on the head, man. Leon Rose, that's Obi's guy. Well, I think we got to trade. We got to trade for Lonzo Ball. We got to get Obi going, man. It was almost cringeworthy watching this kid last night. It's all mental. He's got a lot to work on. You know what I'm saying? But great win by the Knicks, man. Hopefully we can get Lonzo Ball. We can get these top 10 picks are tough to watch, man. Have a good one, fellas.
All right. Thanks for the call. We're all proponents of bringing in Lonzo for the right price, and we all agree that Obi Toppin right now is, I mean, it's true. It's unwatchable watching him attempt to play the game of basketball.
Yeah, you said the word. He's lost. And, I mean, with all the different things going on this season, him coming off the calf and everything else, there are a bunch of different reasons why he's not where he should be. But, I mean, so far what we've seen from Obi Toppin hasn't been not what I expected, at least.
No. There's no way anybody could have expected this. But the one thing I will say is every expert we have spoken to, as frustrated as we are, Rick, has said, you know what? We think he's going to be fine. So hopefully that is, in fact, the case. Dino in South Plainfield. Dino, you're next up.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Love the show. So I'm a longtime Bulls fan, and I really like Thibs, but you Knicks fans got to get used to the idea that he's going to play guys until basically they collapse. 20-point, 30-point lead, doesn't matter. If you look back 2012 against the Sixers playoffs game one, the Bulls were up by 20 points with 3 minutes left, 16 with 2 minutes left, and Derrick Rose, he basically ended Derrick Rose's career by playing him. There's no reason.
I don't understand. I really don't. And thanks for the call. I mean, last night, the fact that your starters are in with 2 minutes to go in a game that is absolutely over, it makes no sense to me. When Julius Randle plays 40-plus minutes a night and R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson is just back from injury, why you would have those guys out there at that moment really seemed questionable to me.
Well, and you could tell, too, when Julius Randle had to check back in, he had no interest in coming back in the game. No, he wasn't. And he grabbed Obi and said, listen, you got to play more aggressive. Like, you have to prove to the coaching staff that they can keep you out here. I mean, you're talking about a game where you blow out the opponent, and Obi only played 8 minutes. He played 8 minutes.
No, but he
in a blowout.
Can't play him. That's the thing. But you would figure if there was a moment you could play him, it would be in a game where there's no pressure. There's no. I mean, you're up by so many points. You're not going to lose the game. Go out there and just freely play. And he can't do it right now.
I'm telling you, man,
unplayable at the moment,
dude. I am telling you, his mindset is until the clock reads zero. Everything's up for grabs.
All right. Well, you're going to run your guys into the ground. I like Tibbs, but you're going to run your guys into the ground. All right, Santi, let's go. It's your time.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Sorry about that, Dave. Didn't mean to step on you there.
That's okay.
So I'm not going to get in on the negative Nancy party. I'm going to be naming the Knicks as a third star just for a dominant win last night. I understand why Thibs does it. It's a topic for another show because it's long, but I understand why he rides guys as long as he does. Leads are not safe in the NBA anymore. So, listen, they beat a team. Stop it, Dave. They're up by 16 with two minutes to go. I'm going to agree with something you said earlier, Dave, which is that the Knicks beat the teams that they're supposed to beat now, which is honestly, that's all you can hope for. So
all I hope for, all I wish for.
Number two.
Number two, I wish he was here, but he's on the show right after us. Chris Canty. I love that he's getting ahead of the wedding planning. Going to be in Chicago. It's not going to be on a holiday. It's not going to interfere with any of our lives. And I'm, you know what? I appreciate him jumping out ahead of things. It's mighty big of him.
Number one.
Number one. Watch TMKS today. But before you do, tune into Yes. Look at the TMKS crew doing play-by-play. I'm not worried about Michael. I'm not worried about Don. Peter and Bear, maybe a little bit. Could be
the
fun.
The fact that the dog might be better than the third host on the show could raise it's some
like,
questions.
It's going to be like when Belichick was the draft and his dog was sitting at the computer.
That's right. Bear will take over. All right. It's Rule 76.
No excuses to play like a champion. It's DPH, Rocanthi, Rothenberg, and...
everybody.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.